Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Yes, well, it seems like that. Seems like it could be exactly enough. I certainly say yea and amen to what we've heard, what we've been taught. I guess we do expect to continue. I just had to think words of the apostle in Romans 13, that verse. I'll have to read it because I couldn't quite quote it. 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. So then what? The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. The day is far spent, the night is at hand. It is time for us to do some real purposeful striking according to the directions given to us, each in our corner, shining each of us in our corners. I'd have in mind, perhaps, Lord willing, to read a portion of Scripture, a short chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, attempt to read it the way it's written here, and then proceed from there. Perhaps starting with the last verse of the preceding chapter, where the various gifts and offices are presented and discussed. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So, last Sunday we had the privilege of hearing some very good thoughts expounding these first few verses. How indeed what could we think of greater? What would seem greater to a person, to a man, than these gifts and abilities? Speaking with the tongues of men, speaking what men wish they could say, what they desire to say, having that ability, or being given words to say what men would wish to say, and even more than men might be capable of saying, the tongues of men and of angels. If there's not charity, if it's not in love, the apostle compares it to the clanking and the clashing and clacking and noise of sounding brass and the tinkling cymbal. Doesn't feed, doesn't edify. Of course, speaking the truth in love, that is what we desire. That's what we wish to do. And it may not sound right. There is such a thing as many very proper and right things being said in ways that don't edify, that don't feed. And in another place, I believe the same apostle mentions about preaching Christ. He did say that he does rejoice, that he did rejoice when the name of Christ is preached, whether it is out of love or if it be for wrong reasons. So we want to rejoice, and somehow we're not called to identify or criticize. These are instructions for me. We need to apply this to ourselves. And as was said, the list was made here on the board. The gift of prophecy, understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and having all faith, huge faith, faith to remove mountains. Having $50, $70 or more, for that mission fund, bestowing all my goods to feed the poor, And giving our lives seems there's such a thing as dying to self or giving our lives in a wrong way. Though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So, we seek profits. The Lord desires to bestow all so much upon us. He's looking for those who are willing to receive. Those who are willing, ready. So I ponder about these opportunities we have. The assembling of ourselves together, that's privilege. Being able to do it in the open, not having to hide at that. Considering the mystery. Heeding, listening for the voice of the Spirit. Reading from the Word. Our printed Bibles that contain the last will and the last testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the will of God, written for us and revealed to us through the Spirit of truth, reveals and guides in all truth, things that are too deep for us. Deep mysteries. Mysteries that will be finished. A point comes when the mystery of God is finished. A time coming when Jesus delivers the kingdom to the Father. It is our privilege, our opportunity, the invitation for us to, without observation, in ways that can't really be seen, that certainly can't be measured, that the kingdom of God can dwell within us. It is the only way for us to be a part of the kingdom that changes, that comes with observation, as lightning shineth from the east to the west, and every eye shall see. And now, it's the only way. It is for us to be willing, to become willing, to be willing to enter in this time. And to us is given what it takes to enter in. I believe everyone who hears my voice this morning, everyone capable of understanding the language, is given what it takes to enter in. There be some emerging from the innocence of childhood who need their parents and the church to help them in some cases. In some cases, it's very obvious. In some cases, there's willingness that needs guidance to when there's really readiness and a need to move ahead with public commitments and baptism. Having so great things looks to me like could be hard to add to that list of abilities and gifts, things that may be earnestly coveted after. If it's without charity, if there's not love, it profiteth nothing. And we seek profits. We seek profits for ourselves, profits for each other, profits for our Lord. He is so worthy of seeing fruits, profits, rewards for His suffering. Now, charity, where there's charity, things tend to be very different. Charity suffereth long. There's patience. How could we be impatient? That is our natural tendencies, to not be patient. But consider the patience. If we consider the patience towards us, if we stop and think, we start to remember and somewhat fathom, to degrees, the great patience, the love, the forbearance, the forgiveness for us as individuals. What about the patience that our brothers and sisters, our fellow beings, have for us? The forgiveness, the love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. We'd like to have the law of kindness on our tongues. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, that vaunting, that lifting up, that boasting, that pride. We may remember vividly some examples, some lessons from last Sunday on charity. Reminded us some very, very poor examples of charity when the reward is obtained at this time, when there's boasting and a lot of noise, like the blowing of trumpets with giving and so forth. Love doesn't do it that way. Charity wanteth not itself, is not puffed up, is not proud, doth not behave itself unseemly. What is that unseemly behavior? Seeketh not her own. Let every man not seek his own, but also that which is another's, that we seek for each other. Charity is not easily provoked. Charity thinketh no evil. That could be a great help towards avoiding being provoked. Not have that tendency to think evil. Charity isn't that way. Charity isn't looking for the evil. Righteous souls can be vexed by having to see it. But there's no rejoicing in iniquity. There's rejoicing in the truth. It seems iniquity has become such an entertainment for the defiled. And we need to guard ourselves very carefully. I don't know if there's any secular news source that doesn't pose a lot of danger to those who wish to, who love to follow after charity. Just such huge risks of contamination by that spirit, that rejoicing in, being entertained by, enjoying iniquity, iniquity that's supposedly with others, and oneself steering clear of it. But, oh, it surely can't be that way. It can't stay that way. It can't be that way for long. Lust, when it has conceived, bringeth forth sin. The wages of sin are death. But charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity. Is there more than one kind of love? Charity. The real love is what's addressed here at charity. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave unto that which is good. From Romans 12. And we've discussed that before. What is dissimulation? Die Liebe sei nicht falsch. Don't let love be fake or false. There is a so-called love, but it isn't charity. There is a false love. Yes, there is a considering of truth, and in the name of love, in a false love, not caring about our fellow men, letting companions, loved ones, just go down the road to perdition. That isn't charity at all. Charity that is so patient, so stepping upwards unto perfection, that charity can't bear the ruin, Satan's devices, ruining people within the families, within the church, allowing one to just go down that wrong road, hurt for himself, and a huge loss for the one who died for us, died for sinners, and huge risk for others who haven't been bitten by the bug at that point. A huge risk in a family. A huge risk for the ones who do abide faithful in the church. Likewise, it would seem like love, but it wouldn't be charity. It almost seem like the Lord would allow us or be satisfied with us if we just didn't make any major steps or moves, if we said God is the judge, and to avoid the risk of possible error, recognizing our weakness. We just didn't maintain purity in families, in the church. Charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. And it abides. It is greater than faith or hope. Faith and hope abide and are great. A charity never faileth. Where there's true love, there's no danger. Well, there can be mistakes made when true love motivates and guides. There can be mistakes made even then, but that spirit is right there. Where the spirit of love is, and corrections get made, and benefits are still greater. All things working together for good. A charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. It's interesting how in German the same word is used three times. Line up with the ceasing, the cessation. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. The spirit Aufhören, it would cease. And so, I certainly don't know where to put this, what to make of it. I allow that there's a whole lot more than what seems to present itself to me at this time, or seems available. Charity never faileth. That's clear. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Well, there could be false prophecies. We'd hope they'd fail. There could be a prophetic word out of sincerity and in love. Seems like there could be. That somehow wouldn't come to pass. And maybe not exactly in that manner. But does it mean that prophecies would cease, that the voices of the prophets would be no more heard? The gates of hell will not prevail against Christ's church. And the foolishness of preaching continues, foolishness to the world, that preaching of Christ. It almost seems foolish, the attempt. It is so high, so deep. His ways are so much higher than ours. The mystery, the hidden mystery is so great. And yet, we recognize clearly that this is what the Lord has for us. that He blesses the assembling together, the reading of the Word, the preaching of it, us hearing it preached. The Old Testament prophets, the writing prophets, as they're sometimes called, the ending with smaller prophecies, smaller books, sometimes called minor prophets, seems that type of prophecy seized, or at least in our Bibles, we don't have written prophecies following that of Malachi, who seems to have been the latest. His book, we find that prophecy last in most of our Bibles. I think of what that prophecy contains, preceding what some people call 400 silent years. The Apocrypha may contain some usefulness on that period. The voices of the prophets in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, well, preceding their warnings for the proud, for the wicked. And then there are the prophet prophesies, he preaches. But then somehow there's some history recorded here, and it seems to me it's something that continued through these years. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. What's the Lord? The Lord speaking, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And it goes on about the Son of Righteousness arising, and it ends. The prophecy ends. My Old Testament ends. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Sure seems like this continued the Gospel of Luke. Luke, he had a very good understanding of the things that took place, writing the Gospel as it was presented unto him, backing up past the beginning of the Gospel. Does Mark, which of the writers say the beginning of the Gospel was in this wise? Can't think of which one that was. But Luke, he mentions, he begins with, Well, there's his introduction, and he begins with the days of Herod, when Herod was king of Judah, about a certain priest named Zacharias. He and his wife tells about their lineage. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. These were surely written in the Lord's book of remembrance. They were aged, they were old, but they weren't nearly that old. They weren't 400 years old. And there's more. Yes, to these people, finally, to these people, they heard, they were told, it was revealed to them, they were given roles in the fulfillment of prophecies. The prophet Elijah coming before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. That son born to them, Jesus said of him, truly Elijah did come, and they did unto him whatsoever they listed. There was another. John was born, Jesus was born. There's another who waited. Simeon, the child Jesus brought to the temple, and there was Simeon in Luke 2, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Written in the Lord's book of remembrance, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He was looking, waiting for a light to lighten the Gentiles and to lighten the glory of his people, of the Lord's people, of Israel. And now somehow he went on. He spoke, he blessed them. And he said, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall not be spoken against. It doesn't seem to me like he was expecting deliverance of the Jewish nation from the hands of the Romans, the restoring of a political kingdom. Somehow don't get that idea. He was looking for a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of those who were named God's people. Some who truly were, some like he, who were waiting, watching, looking for that light and couldn't have missed it. could have missed it if he didn't go to the temple that morning. Why did he go to the temple that morning? It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. And he came by the Spirit. It was revealed that he would see, not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit into the temple. We don't really know whether he thought this would be the day or not. He came by the Spirit into the temple. I believe it was very frequent. I believe the Spirit had led him many times into the temple. Further, in Luke 2, we read of this widow who stayed in the temple. Certainly didn't want to miss out. A widow. She was old. She'd been a widow for 88 years. And before that, she had had a husband. She lived with a husband before her widowhood for 7 years. So it seems like she was well over 100 years, we'd believe. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Israel. The book of remembrance was written about these people. Nathanael. Philip said, come and see. We have found the Christ. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of Moses in the law, and the prophets did write. We have found him. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This must have been earth-shaking. The woman at the well, a few chapters on, the woman in Samaria there at the well, she went to the village and said, come and see if this isn't the Messiah, the Christ that should come. She told Jesus that, yes, she knew when the Messiah comes, who is called Christ, that he will tell us all things. And he was there, he told her. Philip said, we have found him. Nathanael, he came out with a bit of a challenge, it would seem. Nathanael said, he was a man of a pure heart, in whom was no guile. He had to say something. He had to say something, ask a question. His automatic, perhaps sort of automatic response was a question. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be prophecies, there are prophecies. There is prophesying. What about the voices of prophets altogether with the gift of prophecy who accurately foretell future events? In what ways is preaching prophecy, prophesying? In what ways do our sisters prophesy in their own corners or in their own spheres? In a sense, it's a form of prophecy when daddy admonishes and warns a son, you do this, you make those choices, and you'll wind up with this. And there could be hurt for you. There could be hurt for others for whom you're responsible. Well, is that sort of a prophetic word? In a way it is. It's clear. We know it. We need to be reminded of it just continually. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I think of the varied gifts and miracles. The working of miracles is listed separate from gifts of healing, from the gifts of speaking in tongues, diversities of tongues, the working of miracles. I'm so thankful for the teaching we received last Sunday on that. It seemed very tragic. Well, the verse that we didn't read, the beginning of chapter 14, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And it seems so tragic if the prophets just wanted to perform miracles. I don't know if this has ever been a problem, but it'd seem sad if one was given the gift of miracles and didn't want to perform miracles, but wanted to only prophesy and not perform the miracles. That'd seem sad, seem tragic. The prophecy, as we recognize and had such good refreshments on again this morning, and that opening message, the voices of those prophets, the presence of a prophet in Israel, the presence of a prophet in the congregation or in the community, a seeming absence or the real absence of that type of prophet, whether that type of prophecy fails. Charity never faileth. It almost seems like one who's given the gift of miracles, if there were a brother very gifted and there were miracles being performed by his hand, mighty miracles, but he lacked in other gifts, seems that he'd almost need to be pitied because he'd have to say, well, who believes? What good is it doing? Seems the preaching tends to be that way in our surroundings here in what's called the Bible Belt of the nation. There's been so much fiery and powerful preaching. I don't know about the miracles, but it seems people are so used to, they've heard and I suppose seen so much. Sometimes it seems the preaching does need to continue. It seems the effective tool, an effective tool that we tend to underestimate is the honest, quiet, sincere, holding forth the word of life, holding forth that word of life in love. Let us watch for opportunity to expound, to preach the gospel. The thought has been through my mind wondering all the opportunities we have to promote, to lift up by an honest, quiet presence all the opportunities we have, how it seems like very few occasions we don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. We do want to preach it too, but it seems the great opportunities lie in those occasions where there's really no opportunity to actually preach the gospel. Our attitude says just a whole lot. When there's business at hand, when there's business that needs to be done very quickly and efficiently, and there's seems to be no more opportunity than three words about the weather. Three words about the weather can speak volumes. It can speak volumes. It can speak for the Lord and a love for Him and a relation for Him, or it can do just the opposite. God forbid that it do the opposite. Real lax, apparent lax, seeming lax. We don't need... God has spoken. We don't need... Oh, let us not ask for another sign, another miracle. Let us not insist on some prophet coming from a strange place and opening our understanding. The Lord provides what we need. Charity never faileth. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. The prophesying is partial. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What all is done away with? The voices of prophets. Jonah was a prophet who was rather unwilling. There was repenting at his preaching. We have the preaching of one greater than Jonah. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We'd like to be men. I'd like to grow up some more. We'd like to grow up some more. We'd like to put away. Let's put away childish things. Let's not neglect the principles of faith, but press on to perfection. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. When is then? Then shall I know When is now? Now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. When is then? Seems like then comes in steps, steps, steps. There's more of the then. The sight increases the more that becomes apparent to us, is revealed to us, the deeper it looks. The then, of course, won't be completed until the crowning, until the work is completed, wherever the words are spoken, come and inherit. And, oh, the Lord desires to speak that to each of us, every one of us. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Follow after charity. Follow after charity. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. There can be prophesying without words too, but the words of the prophets being subject to the prophets, the words of the prophets, it's good if they're spoken in love. We have history of some prophets who didn't act very loving, but faithfully prophesied as they were to prophesy. But here we are. Oh, prophets, priests, kings have desired to see this, to be a part of this, that is here for us now, that we see and can be a part of. I suggest that we kneel and pray. Oh, Father, we thank you again for your great love to us. Lord, we thank you and we desire to look in and see a little more of these great mysteries of your great love, the suffering that was done for us. Oh, Lord, let there be advances for each of us, progress. Help us to help each other in love. Help us to provoke one another to love and good works. Oh, let this be a day of stepping forward, a milestone in our lives. Oh, Lord, bless, guide, inspire, convict, be with every one of us assembled here as we part. And we pray for so many loved ones, people in other places at this time. In the name of Jesus, amen.